to kids. That's awesome. Send the kids off and half the church is gone. What a blessing that is. That's cool. Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good. Good morning, Galen, my friend. Your smiling faces. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I just want to enter into your presence even more than we already are today, God. I thank you for the opportunity to meet in this room, to be able to worship you with the freedom that we have, Lord. We just thank you. We ask that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have this morning, Lord. That we would hold you close, dear to our hearts, Lord. You give us more wisdom, more revelation, more understanding on who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm happy to be here this morning. How about you guys? Did anybody have any breakthrough this week? Breakthrough? Breakthrough? Jeff talked about breakthrough last week. Said it's going to happen. You did?
Yeah.
What happened?
This is cool.
Yeah?
Jeff and his wife, it's amazing. Wednesday night at church was something different happened. I mean, they made a hand and then asked, you know, if what you want from God to do. So I didn't really write much, just two things. And I did go around a few and wrote what I wanted to. God works. I mean, prayer works. I mean, one of them was answered, the home. And the other one is probably 60-40. So I just love you guys because, you know, it seems like when we really have a heart for God and that we're going in the right direction and then that you, okay, it's time to ask God for something. Because I've been waiting, you know, several years and I haven't... We get discouraged and things go wrong, but, you know, if we never give up and just hang in there, God has his heart for us. He's got his heart's desires for us, and I just want to say thank you that it works. It
Amen.
Works.
You said you had a breakthrough this week?
I thought you meant this morning.
This morning, even better.
Well,
yes.
From freedom and from
yes. Yes, God's healing power in the room. Amen. So God is good. So breakthrough is on the way, is happening. Do you believe it? Amen. So we're going to take a look this morning. If you guys got your Bibles, we're going to take a look into 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll put it up here on the screen as well. But I encourage you to pull out your Bibles and have it in front of you because it's nice to have it. Some other scriptures as well. So, start off, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is out of the New Living Translation. It says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in affairs of civilian life, for when they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to think about these things. This is a good section of scripture. You know, I'm here this morning because I know the alternative doesn't work. Yeah, like Mike said during communion, he's like, if I wasn't here, I don't know where else I'd be. I wouldn't be in a good place. And that's why most of us are here this morning, is because if we weren't here, we'd probably be off getting in trouble somewhere else. The alternative doesn't work. We know that God's plan for our lives is better than we can imagine. So Timothy says, okay, let's see here. Yeah. So in Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Okay. So in verse 1, it says, be strong. So the grace that God gives you. Be strong in the grace that God gives you. Through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Now, grace is it's an awesome thing. It's an amazing gift from God. Paul talks about grace, and he understood it. Jeff touched on it a little bit last week. And he says Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and the hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yes, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Grace is not permission to keep on sinning or to turn the other way. Grace is power, right? Grace is the enabling gift and power of God not to sin. Grace is the power, not just pardon. That's John Piper. Grace is an enabling gift and power of God not to sin. Be strong through the grace that God gives you. Paul writes to Timothy. This is another quote here I have from, this is Beth Moore. Yes, Nina's got me on Beth Moore kick. Watching the videos, studying her book. It's good stuff, man. Beth Moore. Anyways, this is a cool quote that she has about grace. God specializes in granting strength in the exact area of weakness. Pause long enough to ask him for a gush of grace for the endless spring of his provision. You have a provider who wants you to be more than a survivor. You have a provider who wants you to be more than a survivor. You have been entrusted with exhaustible truths and supernatural gifting, but all within confines of borrowed time. Our days are short, our lives are long. We need a divine supply. That's good. You have a provider who wants you to be more than a survivor. God specializes in granting strength in our weakness. Yeah. Do you agree? I bet you all have testimonies in this, don't you? Grace comes from God, and it's his divine favor on our life. Paul understood grace, and he wanted Timothy to be strong in grace. Dear Timothy, my son, be strong through the grace that God gives you. So now we're going to look at this next one here. Now that I already give you a sneak peek at it. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I'm just working through the scripture here. You have heard me teach these things that I have confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You have heard me teach these things. I have confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. So this is Paul writing Timothy, telling him, be strong in the grace through Christ. Now take and teach the things, these truths Teach them to trustworthy people. And in 1 Timothy, Nina talked about a couple weeks ago, in 1 Timothy 1:14, Paul writes to Timothy and says, guard the good deposit entrusted in you. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted in you. There's a deposit that God makes in us, right? It's the word of God. It's the calling. It's who we are. Paul says to guard that. Guard those things. And in 1 Timothy also, Paul reminds him, he says, Timothy, the prophecy, Paul reminds Timothy of the prophecy that was given to him to preach the word. So Paul was reminding him earlier on, you were called to preach the word. You're called to guard the good deposit that I was entrusted in you. Now go, be strong in grace, and teach others what you have learned. And brothers and sisters, this is a call in our lives as well. We could take this example and we could walk this out like Timothy did. And we look at, and there's some good stuff in here. Guard a good deposit. Timothy had a responsibility to stay faithful of what God called him to do, which was to take Paul, take what Paul taught him, and to teach others. Now we know that Timothy was a young leader in the church, and Paul was mentoring him to become a better leader and helping him along the way. I thought of a good example about Star Wars, as you can see. Right? I was thinking about this. And I was like, I could relate this to Star Wars. Everything can be related to Star Wars in the Bible. Right? Because you have Luke Skywalker, the young Jedi. Right? You have Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's teaching the young Jedi how to become a Jedi. Then you have Yoda, the master, Jedi master. Come on, you guys getting it, right? Yeah? And in episode four, The New Hope, the 1977 original, the only good Star Wars movies that exist, the original, first three. The Princess Leia, you know, she gets a message from R2. You know, you got to take this message and you got to guard it and protect it. You got to make sure it gets to the right people, right? So R2's goal was to make sure that message that was inside of him had to get to the right person, right? And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy, the things that you've been entrusted with, the things that you've been given, guard them, protect them, make sure you teach them to trustworthy people, to the people who are supposed to hear it, the trustworthy people. Don't let the stormtroopers, don't let them have it. Don't let the imperial troopers are good guys, right? Imperial troopers. No. Imperial. Okay, I just had my brain just went out the door there for a minute. I was thinking about Star Wars. So anyways. Yeah, so guard what you've been called. Guard what you've been protect given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in grace. Grace is strength. Grace is power, divine favor on our lives. It's not just we're going to look past your sin. No. It's the strength that helps us to walk this out. It's what gives us the strength and power to do this. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus is speaking. And he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So Jesus himself says, take what I'm teaching you today and teach others. Go make disciples. Go teach. Go train. Equip. Right? Jesus tells them to do that. And so that's why Paul is carrying on the message that he learned from Jesus, right? Because Jesus commanded us to go. And so Paul went, and he did, and he was doing this, and he was walking out his calling. Do you see the connection here? Obi-Wan, Luke, Yoda. Everybody's got to learn so they can teach others, right? It says also says in John 14, Jesus speaks again. He says, Am I telling you these things now while I am with you? But the Father will send the Advocate as my representative. Who's the Advocate? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So Jesus says to his disciples that when I leave, someone will come and he will teach you all things that you need to know. He will remind you of the things when you can't remember. I'm good at that, or not remembering things. But it's amazing that those things come to mind because the Holy Spirit's in living inside of you, a person, teaching us, showing us, guiding us, reminding us of the words of Jesus, right? So when we go in strength, we take Holy Spirit with us. We walk in grace. We teach, we disciple, we train, we equip. Like Paul and Timothy's relationship. Because if we don't let things come out of our lives, what happens? We become constipated. And nobody likes a constipated Christian, trust me. Yeah, a little bit of X-lax will fix that. This comes right out. So whatever comes in, it's got to be an outlet where it's coming out, right? We can't just get all this information and knowledge and stuff unless there's a way for it to be going somewhere. It's got to be deposited somewhere. It's got to be flowing out of our lives, you know? It's like the Dead Sea, you know? We all know the Dead Sea. There's no outlet, so everything's dead in the Dead Sea because there's no fresh water coming in, fresh water going out, you know? So there has to be stuff that's coming in and then stuff that's going out of our lives. That's the life of a Christian. We're sons and daughters, not because we try to be. We're sons and daughters because that's just who we are. Right? When we wake up in the morning, we don't say, today I'm going to try really hard to be a son. We wake up in the morning and say, today I am a son. Today I am a daughter of the living God. And today he has given me his Spirit. He has given me his power and his grace to walk out the things I'm called in. Not, I'm going to try really hard to do this today. Because trying really hard is just going to end up, we're just going to end up failing. We just do. We become. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Right? You become a new creation. You are a creation. You don't try. You are. And we have to accept that in our lives and say, I am a son of the living God. You know? Anyways, yes. And so our lives will represent that as we walk them out, right? If you are acting like a son, if you are acting like a daughter, then our lives will represent Christ. And people will see the things in our lives, the fruit, right? Good fruit, good tree, bad fruit, right? If you're a good tree, you're going to have good fruit in your life. And people will see that, be attracted to that. So we need to teach and train others on how to be children of God, how to be sons and daughters. And to believe what the word says when it says you are a new creation. You know, we look at the word of God, but we have all these other excuses on why the things don't work. Because of the things in our past, or because of the things that people said about us and the things that are going on, we can't, we'd be like, well, that's nice that the Bible says that, but no, really, the Bible does say these things, you know? So we have to believe and stand on the word of God to say, yes, today I am forgiven, right, by the blood. When you don't believe that you've been forgiven, you're saying that his blood wasn't enough. You're saying what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough for me. Ouch. We don't want to do that. So when you wake up in the morning, you say, I am forgiven. I am set free. I am a new creation. I am a son, a daughter. Amen? Because it's been done. It's been settled. So you guys know who Barnabas was? Barnabas was a guy who walked with Paul after Paul's conversion. Because Paul got converted, and he went to the disciples and tried to join them, and they're like, we don't know if we want you around here, Paul. You got a kind of a bad reputation, you know? Everybody knew who Paul was. And Barnabas came along and decided to, you know, let me take him on, right? And he walked with him and he encouraged him. And Paul and Barnabas's name means the son of encouragement. I'm just preaching to the choir here. I know most of you know this stuff, but this is good stuff. You can read more about it in the Acts 4. But what does it mean to encourage? To be an encourager simply means to give courage to someone. Barnabas gave Paul courage. The Webster's Dictionary defines courage as like this: the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear and with bravery. Do you guys need courage this morning? Do you need somebody in your life who's encouraging you, who's putting encouragement in you? Do we all need a Barnabas in our life? So Barnabas was a person who encouraged people to do these things, to stand strong when bravery in the face of pain and adversity, or to give courage to act on what we read in Scripture and to live life that models the gospel message. So Barnabas was an encourager to Paul. And so we also need Timothys in our lives, right? We all need somebody who we're encouraging. So we need somebody who's encouraging us, but then we also need to be encouraging someone else. So Timothy was a young guy in the ministry, and Paul was his mentor. He was someone who Paul actually encouraged. We see Paul doing this in 1 Timothy 4:12. He says this: "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live your life, in your love, your faith, and your purity." He's encouraging Timothy, even though he was young, to be strong, and be an example to all believers, you know? Because we can look at other people and be like, well, you know, what do I got to offer? Because they're a lot more experienced in this than I am, you know? But you got to get that out of there, because God can use us. He can use a young man like Timothy. And he did use a young man like Timothy. But it was because of Paul's encouragement into Timothy's life, he was able to do these things, right? Because he had a mentor. He had somebody who was encouraging him and giving him the strength that he needed, with also the Holy Spirit, right? So we all need these people in our lives, people who encourage us. And Paul says it works both ways. We encourage in order to be encouragement to others. We encourage in order to be encouragement to others. Yeah. I just want to encourage you guys. How you guys doing out there? This is so fun. I'm going to get opportunity to do this stuff. Because, like, I could just, like, close my eyes and just, like, this is just me talking to myself up here. Because I get an opportunity just to, like, you know, put together a teaching is just amazing. You know, I know a lot of you done that. Because you just get to, like, just pull all this stuff in and start thinking about and chewing on. And not that we should be doing this all the time, obviously. But it's even cooler when you get to get it out there. Like, this is the stuff that I dug out. So this is what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Actually, if you guys got your Bibles, open that up, will you? Romans chapter 1, verse 12. I want you guys to see this, because this is good right here. This is good stuff. This will encourage you. And that's my goal this morning, is to encourage you guys. Okay, you there? So Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Guys probably have different translations, but here we go. I am eager to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. In this way, each of us will be a blessing to each other. That's Paul wrote that. I am eager to encourage you in your faith. When was the last time you encouraged somebody in their faith? Yeah. You probably did. Most of you probably walked in this room and blessed somebody, didn't you? I know you did. You're good people. But this is so valuable. I don't want to forget it. How important it is that we are encouraging one another. Be encouraged. In this way, each of us will be blessing to the other. We're going to be a blessing to each other when we encourage one another. So we all need a Barnabas and we all need a Timothy, right? Can you all agree?
Yeah.
Somebody who's giving this and somebody we're giving to. Most of us in our lives, you know, we're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Amen. Because we're always on this journey, right? So we're not quite there where we want to be yet, but at least we're not over there where we were, you know, because we're a lot better off now than we were, you know. And so just that, that's enough to be able to encourage somebody else. To say, hey, I was there once, but now I'm not. Let me tell you about it, you know. That's encouragement when you tell somebody a story like that. Cool. Man, I was just like thinking like the glory cloud that Annie was talking about and Jeff was talking about, the cloud by day, fire by night. There's a cloud in this room. His glory is in this room. It's all around us. Anything can happen, beloved. If his glory is in this room and his presence is in this room, he can do anything. I say do it, Lord. Start healing people in this room, Lord. Start setting them free this morning, Lord. Start giving them your power. Your dumanous power. Dumanous. Dumanous is like word for dynamite. You need some dynamite in your life? Some power, a little bit of power. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 says this. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. An athlete cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Endure suffering. Oh, my goodness, Paul, why did you have to say that? Endure suffering alongside with me? At least he said alongside with me. You know, at least they could do it together, you know. Right? It's good when I get to suffer with my wife and not because of my wife. Sure makes things a lot better. Suffer with my wife. Or wait, maybe she suffers because of me. I think that's probably more accurate. So the Apostle Paul here, he uses some really cool metaphors when he talks about being a soldier, being an athlete, or being a farmer. And so I was thinking about this stuff because it says to think about these things. So I was doing that. I had lots of time to do that when I'm at work. And so I was thinking about a soldier, and I was like, okay, a soldier surrenders their lives to serve. Right? They give their life for the call. They give everything. They serve. They go down, flaming fire, bullets and all. You know, and he says that we can be a good soldier for Christ. An athlete disciplines their bodies in order to win. They discipline their bodies. They go through very hard training. They go through very hard diets. They don't eat at Burger King or McDonald's, you know. They're very strict on how they live their lives because they know in the end if they do work hard enough, they'll win, right? Russell Wilson back there. I like that. He's like a little farmer. He's cute. farmers, they work very hard so they can reap a harvest. Yeah. So Paul uses these awesome metaphors of being a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And those are some good pictures that we can look at. So the struggle is real. Yes, the struggle is real, but it's going to be worth it. It will be worth it. Change is not comfortable. Most people choose comfort and run from change for fear of the pain. Let me say that again. Most people choose comfort and run from change for fear of the pain. But it is in those most uncomfortable seasons in our life is where we grow the most. Amen. So in the times that we suffer, in the times that we struggle, we grow the most, become the most fruitful. And it's through His grace that gives us the power to do these things, to walk through these things, not around them, but we walk through these difficult times. He will give us the power, His divine favor on our lives. So we cry out for breakthrough. And that's our cry. Breakthrough, Lord. We want breakthrough in our lives. But with breakthrough, we have to be prepared for change. Because if we're breaking through, it's going to look different on the other side. So when that change comes, we have to be prepared for that and embrace the change that's coming. Amen? It's going to be messy, and like Jeff said, if there's a lot of sheep in the room, there's going to be a lot of poo in the room. Yeah? But the more sheep, the more poo. But in the mess, there's a beautiful message, isn't there? Yeah. Encouragement will get you through. Just a simple word of encouragement can help a brother or sister in times of difficulty, in times of suffering, in times of need. Let's see. Jacob, he wrestled with God, wrestled with an angel. Right? We all know the story in Genesis 32. He wrestled with God, but he walked away with a limp. Right? He said, I'm not leaving here till you bless me. And he got his blessing, but he also walked with a limp. Genesis 32, verse 28 says, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. So the Lord changed his name. It was now Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. You have overcome the struggle. Because Jacob was able to overcome the struggle, he got blessed. You know? Yeah, he got a new name. How many of you need a new name this morning? Right? I don't care what anybody else called you. God's got a name for you. All those other names people have called you don't matter anymore, because God's got a new name for you. And I'm sure most of you know what that is. Yeah. But he walked with a limp afterwards. Right? Because he's never going to forget. He's never going to forget that time that he wrestled. He's never going to forget that time he struggled. Every time he limps, he's going to remember. But that's a good thing. Not a bad thing, because he's going to remember how powerful that was, that he overcame that struggle and he was blessed because of it. I heard Beth Moore talking. I know Beth Moore. She was talking about an experience she went through in her life, and it was so difficult when she was younger, but then she pushed it aside all of her life, but then later on it started to rise up again, and she had to deal with it. And she went through this season in her life that was like so dark and yucky, and she didn't even know who she was anymore. And she came through it and came through the other side, and luckily, and God blessed her, but she was doing ministry stuff at the time, and it really affected her. But then she says every time, I'm just quoting her word for word, but this is pretty close. Every time I was to walk up onto a podium to teach or to share, I would remember that season of my life. And I would say, Lord, you are so good for allowing me to go through that season. Because if I didn't go through that season, when I went through that season and overcome it, that would have took me out later on in life. Right? So it's a process of him. He's going to take us through those seasons so he can get rid of that junk that's getting in the way of his love for us. The things that hinder his love. Because if it's don't deal with it now, it's going to rise its ugly head up later on in life and try to take us out. And so sometimes remembering those struggles is a good thing. So what we read earlier about Paul when he says, I have a thorn in my flesh. Ooh. Right? He's got a thorn in his flesh. And he says, I begged the Lord 3 times to take it away. How many of us have done that? Oh my goodness, have I not? So many times just said, Lord, please take this thing away from me. I don't want it anymore. But then what does the Lord say? I got to go back and look. Because I can't remember off my brain. Yes, my grace is all that you need. Right? My grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. Right? For when I am weak, then I am strong. I take pleasure in my weakness. I have given you, right, the grace that you need. My power works best in weakness. So every time that Paul felt that thorn, whatever it may be, there's lots of ideas, but nobody really knows. Every time he felt that thorn, he says, oh, but this is where God works the most. This is when his power is the greatest. It's in my weakness I find strength. Because it's not by Paul's strength, it's not by my strength, it's by his strength that comes from the Lord, right? And so sometimes those things that we walked through, we can look at those seasons of life and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go be in the struggle. The struggle is real, but it's going to be worth it. You know? So this is not just a hashtag, the struggle is real, hashtag. Funny thing is, I didn't even know what a hashtag was not that long ago. I had to ask my daughter what a hashtag was. She had to explain to me how to hashtag. So I started hashtagging everything. Hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. Dad, that's not how you do it. Oh. I did it wrong. Hashtagging. Hashtag, the struggle is real. Because Nina was sharing a story the other day. Her friend was like, oh, the struggle is real. Because she left her house one day and left her Zumba, which is a cordless vacuum cleaner, to vacuum, right? A Roomba. I don't know. It's a, what did I say it? Zumba, Roomba, anyways, like I said, I don't know this stuff. But the struggle was that she left her house and she has these dogs and she locked them up though, but somehow they got out and she comes home and this thing ran over a bunch of dog poo and there was poo all over the house and she was showing me pictures of it and it was disgusting and the lady was just venting and she's like, the struggle, so. Not that kind of struggle. That is hard in life, but I think Paul here is talking about different kinds of struggles. That's funny, though. I don't know. That doesn't even... Real struggles that we go through. Like, nowadays, we're like, oh, it was terrible. I had to wait at Starbucks for 10 minutes. The struggle is real. Hashtag. Because people make jokes about, the hashtag struggle is real. Okay, anyways. Got it? Yeah, anyways, so where were we? Endure suffering along with me. Paul says to Timothy. So we can endure the suffering that we have to go through. But the cool thing is we can endure it with one another. We can walk through these difficult times with each other. And those times that God takes us through are not to take us out, but to help us to grow and strength. Jesus suffered. It says in Hebrews 5:8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. I'm not even going to try to explain that one, because I'll leave that for the theologians. But Jesus himself suffered, and he learned. He learned from the things that he suffered. So, yeah. So let's see here. You guys are awesome. So we can stand up and we can fight. Whereby we can become a good soldier, right? We can put on the armor of God, right? It says in Ephesians, it tells us how to do that. We can put the armor on. We can wake up and we can say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on my belt. I'm going to put on my my shoes. I'm going to stand the ground. Stand your ground and stand firm. Put on the whole armor of God. Let's see. Put on his shoes. So that way when the enemy comes, you can resist him, right? And you'll still be standing at the end, right? Stand firm. Stand your ground. Be strong, young Timothy. Oh, yes. So it says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. An athlete must train hard all year long, right? Even in the off season, the athlete has to train. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready in season and out of season. Always be ready to preach the word. Paul uses the metaphor of an athlete, and we see an athlete is always training and is always preparing, no matter what season it is. Or else they're going to stink when football season starts. Which I don't know if the Seahawks even trained this year, did they? They don't look so good. So, you guys, here's a cool quote from Russell Wilson. He says, my dad used to always tell me, Russ, why not you? That meant to me, believe in yourself, believe in the talent God has given you, and even though you're 5'11", and you can go a long way. And he did. He did. So he accomplished things that people said he would never be able to accomplish. So I'm going to show a little video clip here real quick. Because if we're not careful, Patrick, you might have to adjust the knob for me. If we're not careful in life, what happens is, when we're going to start comparing ourselves to other people. You know, we live in a world full of selfies, right? Selfie, selfie, selfie. So I'm just going to show you here a little video clip of what we kind of happen to deal with these days.
How's the time, fans? Get on the Twitter with a hashtag of the whole thing, AZDataStrongFan. Then you might see your fan photo at a Diamondback TV broadcast brought to you by T-Mobile. I mean, look at the one on the right.
Do you have to make faces when you take selfies?
Wait, one more now.
Oh, there you go.
Better angle. Oh, check it. Did that come out okay? Oh,
that's the best one of the 300 pictures I've taken of myself today.
Every girl in the picture is locked into her phone.
Oh, Lord.
Every single one is dialed in. Welcome to parenting in 2015. They're all just completely transfixed by the technology.
Yeah, they're at a baseball game, by the way.
Oh, hold on. I'd take a selfie with the hot dog. Selfie with the churro. Selfie just of a selfie.
Just can't get enough selfies.
I can't even get my phone to take pictures.
Took a picture of your thumb last week. That was good.
Here's my first bite of the churro.
Oh, yeah, I want
Here's
a churro,
my second
yeah.
bite of the churro.
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them. Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth, and nobody noticed.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's all about ourselves, isn't it? That's hilarious. Sorry, girls. Oh, those poor girls. They probably like it. It's probably all over the social media. So that's funny. Anyway, so look, check it out. So I looked up the definition of selfie because it's actually made the dictionary, if you can believe that. Back in 2013, it says an image of oneself taken by oneself using a digital camera, especially for posting on social networks. It's all about yourself. But this message that we're looking at today is not about ourselves. It's about something else. It's about something bigger, isn't it? It's about encouraging others, right? It's not about ourselves. And so when we get our eyes off of ourselves and we start thinking about others, then we can encourage others along the way. But we live in this world of selfies. So we are competing with that, which can lead to comparison, and comparison can be a really ugly thing, right? Because comparison, we start comparing ourselves to other people because we see that they have more than us, or we see that they're better than us, or we see that they have a nicer car than us, and we all know what comparison does. Fishermen are really bad about it. Like, if you ever get on, like, any social media fishing sites, oh, man, they're like, check out this fish. But they know how to hold the fish to the camera so it looks way bigger than it really is. Fishermen are terrible at it. They're the worst. Yeah, they know how to, all the tricks. I know how to do it. I make the boys do it all the time. I'm like, hold the fish like this so it looks big. Right? But that's the world we live in, a world full of comparison. You know, we're like always trying to compare what's bigger and what's better. And let's look at ourselves and look at me. But we can count our, we should count our own blessings and not the blessings of someone else. Right? Because when we start looking at other people's blessings, we give Satan an opportunity to discourage us. In Philippians, Paul writes, he says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. Amen? That's good. So comparison and self-focus, you know, leads us to pride. What if Timothy would have started looking at Paul and just being like, oh my gosh, I'll never be a Paul, you know? I'll never live up to his shoes, you know? I'll never be able to do what he did. You know, what if that started happening? And maybe it did. Who knows? We weren't there. We don't see it in the scripture, but he might have struggled with some of that stuff, you know? But what happens is that can all of a sudden, like, that will be a distraction in our life, you know? He says, be strong in the grace, the power. Take the things I've entrusted in you and to teach others. Not worry about yourself at this moment. The struggle was for you to go through so you can grow, so you can teach others, right? So then you have an experience so you can say, hey, this is the experience that I went through, that God's rescued me out of my miry clay. He took me and he gave me beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. I was addicted, but now I'm not. I've been set free. Those testimonies are important so other people can be drawn into the kingdom as well, right? So that gives them encouragement to know that, hey, if that guy was rescued, then he can rescue me, right? And so when we open our mouths and we preach the word of God and we share testimony, we're encouraging one another. When we prophesy over somebody's life, we're putting courage in them, right? We're speaking what the Lord sees over them, right? Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And we're already doing all this stuff. I know we are. And I just encouraging you guys and encouraging myself. This is how important this is. C.S. Lewis says this about pride. He says, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the comparison that makes you proud. The pleasure of being above the rest. Once the element of competition is gone, pride is gone. The whole thing? Okay. Once the element of competition is gone, pride is gone. We're not competing with one another. We're the body of Christ. We love one another. You can't do the first commandment without loving people. You have to love God and love people. You can't just love God and not love people. And it's really bad today. People are like, well, I love the Lord, but I just don't like church. You know? I just don't like people. What Lord do you love? I mean, like, because that's what God's heart is. It's for people. You know? And if we don't do people, then we're not doing God. I don't know what we're doing. We're doing selfies, I guess, at baseball games. When I would go to baseball games when I was a kid, we'd sit around and watch drunk people because we were way up high. I guess now you have drunk people taking selfies, even better. But, yeah, Where was I going with that? Anywho.
Think about what it's
2:7 what? Oh, I should go there, huh? So this is the last verse. This is verse 7. So it says, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. And like I said earlier, it's cool because we can have an opportunity to think and process what the Lord is doing. And you pray into these things. Pray into the word. You say, Lord, thank you for giving me grace to walk out my calling today. Thank you for depositing your word into my heart and letting it grow and molding me and conforming me. Thank you. And you know what happens when we are doing that? We don't start comparing ourselves. That competition thing goes away. The pride goes away because we're focusing on him and we're thanking him for the things that we have every day. And we say, I don't need a newer car. Because, you know, when I pull into work and I have my old beater truck and all these other guys have these lifted 4x4s and they're shiny and all this stuff, and I can sit for a minute, I'll go, man, I really need a new truck. And then all of a sudden the Lord says, why? I'm like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? When you are content with the things that God has given you and who you are, then you won't have to worry about what everybody else is doing. Be strong in the grace. Be strong. Not that I was ever in need, Apostle Paul says to Philippians 4:11. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it be with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul had learned to be content. Whether he had a full stomach or an empty stomach, he was content, which kept him from becoming prideful, which kept him humble. Because we see him later, he's like, I am the worst of all sinners. You know, he kept him in a place of joy. Some people say that the thorn in his flesh was the all the beatings and the persecution that he had gone through. Because no matter what he did, he got beaten and he got persecuted and he got thrown in jail. And can you imagine how many times he took a beating and a wallop? How bad that would hurt? Yeah, the guy was disformed. But he said, I'm content. Even though these guys are going to persecute me and beat me, I'm okay. I'll be all right. Here, I'm in jail right now, and I'm bloody and beaten and starving, but I'm just going to write Timothy a letter of encouragement. Holy smokes. He didn't say, I am suffering, and I'm in terrible shape, and please come rescue me because this is horrible. God, where are you? He said, hey, I'm just going to encourage Timothy a little bit and other churches as well. When he was going through some morally hard times in his life. Man, wrap your brain around that. Because that's what we can do in our lives. Right? We can be strong with the grace that God gives you. What's grace? Power. Favor. To do what? To do the things we're called to do. In the midst of the struggle, when we suffer, because we will suffer and we will struggle. But we can know that he is there and he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to give us the strength to get through those times. Through his power, his divine favor in our lives. Guard the things that he's entrusted in you. The things he's called you to be. The things he's called you to do. Guard them. Protect them. Put the armor on. The body armor. The word of God. Get it in our hearts. Right? Protect it. Keep it dear to your hearts. And then become a good soldier for Christ. Right? Right? What's the soldier do? He serves. He gives his life as a living sacrifice for a greater calling, which is the Lord Jesus Christ he calls us into. This is such a good 7 verses of scripture. There's so much in here. So the Holy Spirit will teach us all these things when we think about these things, right? He'll give us understanding in these things. We can't compare ourselves to others, and we always have to keep love our highest goal. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love one another and love God. So encourage one another today. Encourage one another as you go out. Do not forget what he's called you to do. Do not forget who you are in Christ Jesus, sons, daughters. Preach the word of God. In season, out of season. Suffer for the sake of the gospel. Right? Because he's a good God. It's not about us. It's about the future. It's about the kingdom. We walk out this life trusting in him. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. I just pray that the things that we studied in your word today would go deep within our hearts, Lord. That would give us the encouragement to walk out this room today, Lord, and to be able to do the things that we've been called to do without fear. That you would give us boldness that only comes from you, Lord. Your divine grace, your divine power would be on our lives everywhere we go, Lord. No distractions, no competition, no pride, no more. Jesus, pour out your oil in this room. Pour out your oil. Anoint the hearts. Your warm oil be poured out on this room right now, Lord. No more sickness. No more infirmities. No more strongholds. Ooh, I break the strongholds off of people's lives this morning. No more strongholds on your life. That you would walk in the freedom that the Lord has for you. Ooh, that the lies from the enemy would be gone and no more. That you would put on your helmet of salvation to protect your mind. Ooh. The scripture says you have the mind of Christ. And he will reveal the things of God's heart. The Spirit will. Jesus, give us the strength. We cry out for breakthrough. 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 Breakthrough, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come. Your glory is in this room, Lord. Set your people free, Lord. Why not now? Why not us? Yes, Lord. Release your spirit, Lord. Even greater now. Even more now, Lord. Oh, the weightiness, let his presence rest on you, beloved. I just don't want to end this yet. I don't know. It's like the Lord's not quite done yet. Strength. You may have walked in here weak this morning. But I'm declaring you're walking out here strong. You may have walked in here sick this morning, and I'm declaring that you walk out healed. Oh, I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking you today, God, that your favor would rest on us, Lord. It's more, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just let him continue to do what he started this morning in your hearts. Just bless you guys. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be myself and share the word of God. Love you guys. Amen.